Well, hello, Westwood family. It's great to see you all today. My name is Ben, Pastor Ben Griffin, and so honored to get to continue the series that we're working through called Practicing the Way of Life, Learning to Be and Love Like Jesus. And Pastor Joel talks about this cycle, this rhythm where God gives, we receive, then we give, and God receives. And continuing in that, last week, Pastor Joel talked about sacred community, and this week, I get to talk about prayer. Hold back your applause. Isn't that a funny thing about prayer? Like, we hear that, and some of us, I feel like, we think of it like flossing. Like, it's something we need to do, but we don't really like it. And if that's how you feel, let me just say, man, prayer should never be thought of as boring if you think about who we're actually talking to. Amen? I mean, think about this. God of the universe, who made everything. He put that sun in the sky, and it is so bright that we cannot look at it without our retinas burning. He's the one we're talking to when we pray. So simple definition of prayer as we start here, prayer is simply the way we communicate and commune with God, God Almighty, maker of the universe. Can we just say, yes, we get to talk about prayer today. Amen? Thank you for that nice golf applause. Yeah. If I was like, and the Timberwolves will win tonight, you'd be like, right. Oh, maybe not. All right. Prayer is communicating with God Almighty. And there is a wow to that, a wow to that. And the truth is, prayer doesn't sound like a super exciting thing for many of us. And many of us struggle with having a good and consistent prayer life. And just as evidence of that, here is a chart that shows the amount of time the average Christian spends in their life doing certain things. So at the top, we got sleeping. And some of you, let's see, anybody already started? Yeah, all right. Okay, we've got work is a good chunk. So sleeping is like 30-some years of your life. Work is a good chunk. Screen time, I have a feeling this one is going up and up and up. Eating, waiting, exercise. I'm actually surprised exercise is above socializing. School, and then way down here, averaging out over a whole lifetime to being about a year of our life is time with God. Man, wow, isn't that a little convicting? So my intention here is not to create a guilt to experience. My intention is to create a get to experience. I want to show you the beauty, the power, the gift that prayer is. And I want to invite you into it. I want you to know communing with God as a gift to your daily, folding it into your life is something that you get to do and seeing the fullness of that. And so I'll come at it from this angle. Think about somebody in your life that you know to be a prayer warrior. You got somebody in mind? Somebody just, man, they say they're going to pray, they're praying. You know that's a rhythm built into their life. Right? I think about my friend Demolesh. So Pastor Demolesh, he's a partner pastor with Westwood in the Twin Cities. He's planted a church and helped plant churches all across the country. So Pastor Demolesh and I were at a pastor's conference together. We were sharing a room. And in the middle of the night, or I guess kind of getting towards morning, about 4 a.m., I woke up and I look over and Pastor Demolesh is out of his bed on the ground, on his knees, praying to God. I thought, man, I want to be praying like that. And then I went right back to sleep. An hour later, I woke up at 5 in the morning and guess what Demolesh was doing? He was praying, still praying. I still wanted to, but I didn't make it. I fell back asleep. My alarm goes off an hour later, 6 a.m., and guess what Pastor Demolesh is doing? Still praying. So I ask him, I say, Pastor Demolesh, Demolesh, what's going on in your life? Like, is something heavy? Like, what's got you up in the middle of the night praying? And he just said, no, I just felt the Lord woke me up and wanted to commune with me, and I wanted to spend time with him. It's like, oh, I want more of that in my life. So think about those prayer warriors that you know, those Pastor Demolesh types that are spending their nights, their mornings, they're praying. What are some of the characteristics of those people? My guess is that peaceful, kind, right? Basically the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And don't you want more of that in your life? That's the fruit of time communing with God. So as we walk into the message today, I'm inviting you into something that is profound and powerful and transforming, not just in your life, but the world around you. So here's the outline that we're going to follow today. Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead. You are in the right place. I'm going to stay right here. So when I think this is where Jesus' disciples, what they felt like when they came to Jesus, they're like, they saw in him what I saw in Pastor Demolish. There's something special going on here. And they asked him to teach them to pray. This is what they said. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Would you say that with me? Teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So they come to Jesus, and one of them asks on behalf of all of them, and they say, we see this in you. Would you teach us to pray? Now, they're asking him because they see that in him, right? You're not going to ask me for advice on good hair care, right? You go to the person who you know has experience and you're impressed by it. They came to Jesus. Now, at this point in the book of Luke, if we read through that historical account, they have seen Jesus heal people miraculously. They didn't say teach us to heal. They'd seen Jesus walk on water yet, but they had seen him feed 5,000 people with just a couple loaves. And they didn't say teach us how to feed people. They had seen him literally raise someone from the dead. And they didn't say, teach us how to do that. They said, teach us to pray. Why? Because I think they saw the source, the heart, the heartbeat of Jesus, the rhythm of him being connected so intimately to the Father. And I want to point something else out here that you may not have noticed, because when I hear this phrase, I almost always internalize it as teach us how to pray. But that's not what it says. What did they ask him? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, to be praying people like you are a praying person. So often we get caught up in how we pray. Am I saying the right words? I'm not as eloquent as Pastor Clint. We always want to know the mechanics versus just doing it. So if I could just simplify today, the teaching, it's this. Would we be encouraged to pray and find in it the joy and delight of the Lord? Amen to that? That's not a closing amen. Yeah, but amen to that? Amen. Yeah, teach us to pray. And in that, now here's the outline we're going to go through. Not yet. Thank you. No, go back to it. You were right. I just want to show Jesus praying, and I just keep jumping ahead of myself. This is Jesus praying through the book of Luke. You would think I hadn't done this twice already today. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and did what? Prayed. Next. Next slide, thank you. And as he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus was praying at his baptism, and this is what happened. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying. When's the last time somebody came back in the middle of the night and you were like, boy, you must have really been praying, right? Wow. Next, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? So there he is, praying in private. And then the last one of this group, the transfiguration, we know it is, as about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now stay on this slide, and I'm going to share something that I hadn't shared in any other services. But what's so fascinating here to me, Jesus is praying, he's transfigured, but one of the things that happens alongside of this is the disciples often, when Jesus is praying, they struggle to stay awake. They keep falling asleep. He's like, pray, like the same thing in the garden when the night before Jesus, or the night Jesus was betrayed, like he's praying and they're falling asleep. So all that to say, when the disciples say, teach us to pray, they are in the same place we are. Jesus is the superhero, and we're the ones just trying to figure this out. But there's so much beauty in taking those steps of prayer. So, anybody ready for the outline? Here's the outline of what we're going to talk about the rest of today. One, the privilege of prayer. 2, the practice of prayer, and 3, the power of prayer. Privilege, practice, and power. So first, the privilege of prayer, and we catch this in Jesus' answer to the disciples when they say, teach us to pray. He says this in Luke 11. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, we're so used to this, Father, God our Father, we pray to you, Heavenly Father, that we likely miss just how shocking this would be and probably was to the disciples. To use the word Father. Father is a familiar, intimate, close term. Nowhere in the Old Testament, after Adam and Eve and Jesus, or not Jesus, but God walking with them in the garden after the fall, there was just tremendous distance between God and man. Everything was about God is holy and powerful and he is good, but to be in his presence as an imperfect human is to dance with death. He is so much greater than us. Try hanging out on the surface of the sun, just like being in God's presence. Wow. So when Jesus says, come to him as Father, an intimate, family, familiar, connective term, that must have been absolutely shocking. I mean, Old Testament, everything said distance. There's a portion of historical account where the elders of Israel go up on a mountain and they have a meal near the presence of God. And they come back and everybody's like surprised and thankful that they survived. When's the last time you went to a prayer night and you came back and everybody was like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you made it out. Right? When is the last time that you thought about in awe of God and how grand he is and powerful when we enter into prayer? Everything about the Old Testament worship system was set up in a way that showed that distance between God, how he was so holy we couldn't come anywhere near him. The temple had a section where only certain people could go, and then another section that was even more elite, and another section ultimately to a place called the Holy of Holies, which is where the weight of God's presence was said to dwell, where God said, this is my presence. And that place, once a year, the high priest would go into there. And there's some accounts of the high priest having a rope tied around his leg because if he died, that was the only way they were going to get his body out of that place. There had to be blood spilled in sacrifice just to approach God. So different, so distant. So you have to say, what changed that we go from that to Father? And what changed is Jesus. This is so profound. You know, when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not like the email address that makes sure it gets to him. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's because Jesus is the one who opened the door for us to be in God's presence in that way. He's the one that turned us from enemies of God to the family of God. So look at what Matthew says when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew 27. At the moment that he died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. What's the curtain of the temple? It was the place that marked the Holy of Holies away, a super thick curtain. This is not like what's keeping light out in your living room. This is thick and it ripped from top to bottom. Why? Saying, no longer are we so separated from God. Jesus has brought us into the very throne room of God as his family. Wow. Can we do a golf clap for that? Wow. Into the very presence of God. So when we pray, our Father, it is a privilege of privileges that we get to approach him and such that he wants to have us connecting to him in the everyday things of our life. He wants us to be conversing to him like we do with the Father. And now I know when I say that for some of us, just talking about fathers in that way, in a positive way, can be really hard because some of us have deep father wounds. So let me say this. If you're one of those people, I pray that you will learn, and I know it is hard, but this is a worthy journey. Learn to see God, your heavenly Father, in a familiar and good way, in a way that your earthly father has failed. Know that he has not. And that that would be a healing journey for you. For God is a good father. And we are privileged to call him that because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? Now that's the privilege of prayer. Let's talk about the practice of prayer. So we'll continue in the book of Luke. Jesus continues and he says, give us each day our daily bread. And so goes from talking about Father and holy is your name to now talking about bringing our needs before him. Forgive us our sins, for as we also forgive those and everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. He's calling us to talk to God about the everyday things that are going on in our life. And so often we approach prayer like a phone call. We're like, I pick it up, I dial, I talk to him, and then I hang up. And prayer, scripturally, sure, there are prayers that come and go like that, but the way that Jesus talks about prayer is it is an ongoing, continual practice, dialogue, connection with God Almighty. This is how he continues in Luke, and I won't go through all the whole passage, but it's the passage where he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and he will answer. It is persistent, it is consistent, it is folded into every part of our lives. It's prayer that is purposeful and ongoing. And that's how we're called to pray. So how do we pray like that? What does that look like? So here are some practical tips for praying. The first one is this: make it a daily habit. I know that's, again, it sounds like flossing. Just do it every day. But really, be the type of person who prays. Most of my life, I've gone in and out of workouts to differing degrees of success, but this year, I've had the most consistent time in the gym than I've ever had in my life. And the reason is, when the new year came this year, I said, instead of I'm going to work out a couple days a week, I thought to myself, I'm going to be the type of person who works out, and I'm going to make it a daily part of my rhythm. Now, I don't make it into the gym every day, but because I think like that, every day I'm thinking, hey, is there an opportunity for me to get in the gym? And I am in there so much more consistently, except for Sundays I take a Sabbath, as I think is the way that God has laid it out for us. Now think about our prayer in the same way. Prayer should be a daily habit, not the have to, but the get to. Are you the type of person who prays? Who it's who you are. It's your first response. It's built in. And here are some practical ways to just start doing that. Here's one. For about a year, maybe 6 months, I can't remember exactly, I took my phone and I moved it away from right next to my bed at night and put it across the room. So when I woke up in the morning, my first impulse wasn't to grab the phone and get caught up in whatever's going on there. But as Pastor Joel talks about, my first step is a knee in prayer to the Lord. And by intervening in that built-in habit that was already there, I pointed it to the Lord. Some people set aside specific space, specific places, specific ways. Maybe it's a walk every day and you turn it to the Lord, but be intentional, because prayer is meant to be folded into every aspect of our lives to pray. And man, sometimes when we need prayer the most is when we struggle with actually praying the most. So very goofy, but true example. Maybe you can relate. So I was on a plane about a week ago, and this has been happening to me lately on flights, where I feel like about 80% to 90% of the time, every other seat in the plane is like upright, except for the one right in front of me, and that person's like, I need a little more space. Can anybody relate? I don't want to get into the etiquette of this. I just know it makes me uncomfortable. Right? I'm always like, no, like as they're doing it, like, no. And so I'm this one was particularly challenging because the seat in front of us, they had one of those like extra space seats, like just the way the plane was made. So they already had extra legroom. And then the person got on the plane, didn't even wait till we took off, just immediately lowered it all the way back. So I'm like, no, and there I was the whole entire flight. And I wanted to get some work done. It's like free Wi-Fi in this flight. So I pulled out my computer and it was, I couldn't, like, I was in the middle seat because, like, it didn't work. And in that moment, what I should have been doing was praying. But instead, I was like, I want to write a message about prayer, and I can't. And now I'm frustrated. But if I think back and go, what should that moment have looked like? What I should have done is been like, okay, Lord, in this moment, clearly, I'm not going to be using the computer. What do you want me to be doing in this time? Clearly, this person is in need of extra space and rest. How can I pray for them and not just get frustrated at them? See, when we pray, it doesn't just transform the world around us. It transforms our heart and how we show up. Just think about that in moments you've been in. Do you see how I would show up differently in that moment if it was like, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering all this to you and I trust you and I don't see that person as an enemy with their seat attacking me, but instead as somebody that you love and is worthy of your grace, and I'm going to extend that to them too. Do you see the difference? See, prayer changes us, and it may not change our circumstances, but it does change us. Because in prayer, we align with God. And we should be doing that in every instance. When you're on the plane and the seat's knocked back, what should you do? Hey, when you're going through a hard relationship situation, what should you do? Pray. When you're seeking direction, what should you do? Pray. Pray. When you're celebrating, what should you do? Pray. Pray. Yes, thank you, God. Pray, pray, pray. In everything, pray. There is such beauty in that. So the first point here, make it a daily habit. The second one, and I won't spend as much time on all of these, but the second one is use the Lord's Prayer as a model. So Jesus, when asked how we want to pray, teach us to pray, he said, here, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And I don't think he intended us to just take that as rote words and repeat them. I mean, I don't know anybody who's gotten married and then every day they wake up and repeat their vows to each other. What do? You live them out in who you are and how you act and how you respond. So some of us come from backgrounds that are very structured in prayer. All the prayers are written out. We get them ahead of time and we read them and we say no other words. Others of us come from very free-form prayer backgrounds, and those, it's like, hey, it's just from your heart, you pray, and it might take all day, and praise God for that, but don't you dare tell us a structure. We're just praying. And I think the Lord's Prayer is the perfect blend. It's hey, here's a framework for your prayer. Now attach into it the things that are going on in your heart and your life. Lord, you are my Father. Let me connect you. Holy is your name. Give us today our daily bread. What is your daily bread? What are the needs that you have? Forgive as you forgive others. And then the last phrase, deliver us from evil. And I'm going to pause here and say, if you hear nothing else in this message, hear this. Deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer is ultimately a prayer saying, help. And if you have no other prayer, if you can't vocalize, do anything else, the most powerful prayer you can utter is a soul bound, just from the center of your soul saying, Lord, help. Just start there. Father in heaven, help. I trust you. Help, help, help. So use the Lord's Prayer as a model. Third, pray with your eyes open. This is especially helpful if you're praying continually and driving a car, right? Pray with your eyes open. Everywhere you go, pray. Like one of the most beautiful things about prayer is that you can pray for what you see, what you touch, what's happening around you. For me on the plane to be praying with my eyes open, I approach that situation differently. I pray differently. Pray for what you touch. Pray for the people around you. I don't know if y'all know this, but on Sunday mornings, prayer teams, walks through the room and prays, touching every seat and praying for those who will be in them and in worship. Isn't that powerful? To pray. Pray for what you see. Pray for those around you. Prayer changes you. It changes them. Brother Lawrence, a monk, wrote a book called Practicing the Presence. And the whole book is basically about how everyday mundane activities are actually an opportunity to pray. So he talks in that book about how doing the dishes and taking out the trash are opportunities to commune and with God and experience his presence. So those of you who are wise are thinking, you know, I've got some great opportunities for my spouse to connect with the Lord. This weekend, there's so many things, opportunities to connect with his presence. Get those dishes done. Yes, all right. Pray with your eyes open. Four, turn your self-talk into prayer. I mean, think about this. Turn your self-talk into prayer. Many of us have a dialogue going on in our head. Turn that into a conversation with God. Talk to him in all the aspects and parts of your life, and you will find your life reflecting and talking to him in everything. Fifth, practice listening to the Lord. Our world is filled with so much noise. Would you do something here with me? Just take a breath. Let it out. While you let it out, let your shoulders drop. Oh, maybe you didn't even realize you were holding a little bit of tension there in them. How often, like prayer is a conversation and connecting. It isn't just us talking to God, it's us hearing and receiving from him. Just be in his presence. There's so much noise in our world. Just stop and listen. All right, so that's practical tips. So the privilege, the practice. Now third, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now, a lot of times when people are going through things and we caring Christians will say something to them like, I will pray for you. And oftentimes what we mean when we say we'll pray for you is I care, but I don't know, I can't do anything about it. So we say, I'll pray for you. And then maybe we will, maybe we won't. But what if we took that phrase and poured more meaning into it to what we're really, what if what we were really saying instead of I care, but I don't know what I can do to help? What if instead we said, I hear what's going on. I hear your pain. I can't do anything about that. But I happen to regularly commune with the creator of the universe. And I believe that he is infinitely capable of doing more to help you and speak into your situation than I will ever be. Can I bring this to him in my time with him? He's my heavenly father. Do you hear the difference there? Aren't you immediately thinking, man, because the prayer team's going to be up here after service. And you're like, oh, I don't really need prayer. But when I say that, aren't you like, I kind of wish somebody would be praying that way for me. There's something, yes, bring it to the king. He has all the power and authority. He's the one. So when we pray, it transforms the world around us and it transforms us. And let's talk about some very specific examples of God responding in powerful way to prayer. One of them, historically, I'm going to go back to 1940 in the middle of World War II, actually right there in Dunkirk. And maybe some of you have seen the movie that talks about this, but the movie leaves out the real hero of the story. So here's what's going on in the backdrop. Germany is advancing. They took a move nobody expected, and they were swinging momentum in the war in their favor. And there were over 300,000 troops trapped. They moved towards the beach of Dunkirk, trying to get off to be saved from this blitzkrieg coming from the Germans. But the big boats, big military boats, couldn't get into the shallow beach to save them. So they were stuck. They were getting hammered. So King George VI called the whole nation of Great Britain together, and he called for a national day of prayer. And in that time of prayer, you know how Pastor Joel has talked about that dream that Sammy had about Westwood being a place of prayer where people were lined up coming here to pray? That was what was happening in Great Britain. In every church, in every city, people were lined up out the doors praying. And when they prayed, this is not in the movie at all. So hear this historical truth. While they started praying, Hitler miraculously stopped his blitzkrieg. It didn't even make logical sense. He stopped advancing. Strange things were happening, like the Germans would drop bombs, but then the smoke of it would obscure their vision and people were able to escape. Not to say every life was saved, but many, many, many were. And then, not only that, everybody's trapped on that beach. Remember Dunkirk? Then they're like, how do we get them off? We can't get the big boats there. So they started sending private boats to ferry people off. And this is incredible. It's the English Channel, which is notorious for being really choppy water. The water was so still when they were getting the soldiers off the beach that one person reported that it was like a bathtub. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, the water was still as a bathtub, but the sky above was so stormy and cloudy that the Germans couldn't fly planes through and drop bombs on them. They prayed. God listened and he responded. And please know that people gave their lives. A whole French regiment stood their ground so others could get away. But over 300,000 soldiers were saved and the war and momentum shifted. They were expecting when they planned it that maybe 30,000 would get saved. But God, the power of God. Now that's a grand example, but where is that? Why is nobody talking about this? Why are we not passing on these mighty acts of God? But I guarantee you, if I went around this room and I talked to you and you and you and you and person after person in here has a personal story of God's faithfulness and response to prayer. I guarantee you this room is filled with testimonies of God and his power on display, transforming others and transforming us in our prayers. Have you ever been an answer to prayer yourself? I had it once where I called a friend. We were helping a pastor feed some people in his community. So I called a friend who is a caterer, and I was like, well, maybe he'd like to get involved. I called him up. I shared the situation, and he just goes, thank you so much for calling. He goes, I was praying last night. Lord, I want to serve you. I just don't know where you want me to serve. And then you called me today. Like, it's such a privilege to be an answer to prayer. God moves. God does not need our prayers to act, but God does act when we pray. Can I say that again? God does not need our prayers in order to act, but God does act when we pray. And what a gift and a privilege it is to approach the God of the universe and in the everyday moments of our lives and know that his power is on display. What does the scripture say? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in us because of God, because of Jesus. That's profound. So closing it all up here, we come to this image back from the beginning. And we got our little bit of time with God here at the bottom. But imagine if we looked at this differently and we saw our time with God folded in to all the other activities of our life. That time with God was, school isn't, well, here's school and I got church life over here, but school is a place of worship and prayer and seeking the Lord. Socializing, my internal dialogue is praying for and we're conversing about the things of God. It becomes holy moments, sacred moments. Exercise, you know, sometimes in my exercise, one of the ways that I've drawn in spiritual practice is instead of counting reps, I use things like the fruit of the Spirit. So I'll be like love, joy, peace. Sometimes I don't get the patience, but you get the idea. Waiting in our waiting. Man, how many times when we're waiting in a car, you get stuck at a stoplight, what do? You look at your phone, you turn up the radio. Imagine turning off all the noise and just that stoplight is an opportunity for prayer. How powerful would that be? Eating, screen time, work, sleeping. An evidence that your life has a habit of continual and consistent prayer is that you will find yourself praying in your dreams. And when that happens, you'll see the folding, the cascading of the presence of God into every moment, everyday moments becoming sacred moments because of him. And so with all of that, My prayer here today is not that I gave some convincing, compelling words. My prayer here is that the Holy Spirit, our God, would whisper his truth to each one of you as you learn to pray. So let's pray. I'm going to just walk through the Lord's Prayer on a high end, leaving a little bit of space in there today. And I know I said, oh, let's pray, and half your eyes closed, so I got to say one more thing. I've got a challenge for you. This week, could you just for this one week, every day, set aside intentional time and pray through the Lord's Prayer? Not just wrote, I read it and I'm done, but pray it and infuse it with your life, your presence, your issues, your, well, just seek the Lord and use the framework that Jesus gave us. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to call you that. Thank you for Jesus, the cross, and the empty grave. Holy, holy, holy is your name. You are set apart and great. Thank you for letting us speak to you. And we honor you, Lord, now in our quiet prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we trust you who sees more than we see. We know that you answer prayers the way that we would answer them if we knew what you knew. We trust you. And we surrender to your will with our prayers, Lord. We pray, give us our daily bread, forgive us our sin, help us to forgive others. We lay before you, Lord, the things we need forgiveness for and those we're struggling to forgive. And Lord, we bring it all together with this. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Help us. Help us. Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you.